The Church of Christ is on the air with a program of Bible truth. It's good to come to you once again at this hour, bringing you the gospel without addition, subtraction, or alteration. We do not mean by this that we certainly have all the answers to questions. The Bible has the answers to every question that may be asked by people. It has the solution to every problem. But we're trying to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent. When we have done this, we've done no more than the Lord expects us to do. Much as the teaching that says, after we have done all that we can do, we are still unprofitable servants. But we believe that as we begin this series today, that we simply have entitled Bible Lessons, that we'll be able to offer some truth that can be a benefit to each and every one in the audience, the young as well as those who are older that listen to this broadcast. If you want to follow us for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at accountings that are found in 1 and 2 Peter. So you might read those two general epistles that were written by the Apostle Peter many years ago, keeping in mind that the Apostle Peter was one on the day of Pentecost, among 12 altogether, that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with different tongues or different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, as we have in Acts 2 and 4. Beginning in the broadcast today, we simply want to look at a Bible lesson that deals with blessings in Christ. I think you're conscious of the fact, as you look about you in the world today, that the Lord sendeth His rain upon the just and upon the unjust, and He sends, of course, many, many blessings in a physical way to people that are sinners as well as people who are saints. So the point is that the Lord truly is not making any difference as far as physical blessings are concerned. So this is why sometimes when you find people who seem to have little regard for the Lord, that they seem to be blessed in life. I remember a story one time about a man, and of course this was a true accounting, who was not a Christian for most of his life. The thing that seemed to overwhelm him is why his wife extended such courtesy to him. And one day he asked her this question, "With all of the indifference that I have and with all the problems I've made in your life, why do you continue to show such kindness toward me?" And of course she pointed out that he was not a Christian. She had an obligation as a wife, but she said, "I realize that if you continue on the course that you're following, that there's no hope for eternal life as far as you're concerned." And she said, "I want to benefit you every way I possibly can in this life." I think this had something to do with the man thinking about his condition, because he did turn from his sin and obeyed the gospel before he left this earth. So perhaps the physical blessings that God is pouring upon people should tell them something. Even though many, many times it seems that people are like the porkers that a man told me about, who seem to constantly keep looking down at the trough, receiving all the food blessings, but never looking up to realize where they came from. Well, that be the case with you or not, may we say that spiritual blessings are those things that come to those who are in Christ Jesus. We couldn't expect spiritual blessings to come to people who are out of the Lord, but we can expect spiritual blessings to come to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'd like to go to an accounting that we referred to some months ago on our broadcast in 1 Peter, the first chapter, where in verse 3 he talked about the lively hope. The words read like this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I think there are two blessings here that are mentioned in verse 3 that we might consider as true spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. One is the lively hope. You know, it's a terrible thing to realize that a person has a dead faith. It would be equally bad to realize that a person has a dead hope. We have mentioned the relationship in a past broadcast between faith, love, and hope. We had mentioned that faith was as a motor, that the fuel that fired that motor was represented by love, and the spark that ignited the entire thing to get into motion is truly hope. Well, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there can be a dead faith. And I believe people can have a dead hope, but he said he's begotten us again unto a lively hope. You see, when one is just a child before that person has come to an age of accountability, then there are a good many things to look forward to. Sin has not invaded the life, has not become a part of that life, and there's a very abundant future. And then when the person gets older and commits sin, even though there may be a good outlook on life, Yet we find there is always that unfinished business spiritually. But when that person, let's say, for example, on the broadcast today as a teenager, obeys the glorious gospel of Christ, then not alone do they have youth from a physical standpoint in their favor, but they also have the lively hope. And the wonderful thing about this, whether you have obeyed the gospel as a young person or not, maybe you're going down the western slope of time and you still are out of the Lord. Your hope for eternal life is very, very dim. You can understand that as you read the Bible. But you truly can have a lively hope. As a brother said to me some years ago, he said, you know, when you come to the spiritual part of man, you're thinking of something that should not be looked upon as an old spirit. Not alone does he talk about the lively hope in verse 3 here of 1 Peter 1 and 3, but he also refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the wonderful thing about the resurrection of Christ from the dead, he set the example. He made it possible, as Paul wrote in the Colossian epistle, for us to be risen with Christ. And that isn't referring to the final resurrection there. That's referring to our coming forth from the water of baptism as we come forth in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. The wonderful thing about this resurrection, as far as Christ is concerned, we realize that he was not going to be called upon to die again. And the thing that can be transferred to your life and my life as a Christian is that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we come up out of that water, we are risen with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. And isn't it wonderful to realize that spiritually, we never will have to be separated from Jesus? Not even the physical death that comes upon us, friends, can separate us from Jesus. So the second point that he brings out here is linked with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and we read about it now in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You remember Jesus talking to his apostles in that famous 14th chapter of John, when he broke the news, so to speak, to them that he was going to have to leave them. He said, I'm going to go away, but he said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He also said, in my Father's house are many mansions or many places. And I believe that he's referring in a very definite way to that place that is reserved in heaven for you. Now we must realize, to actually attain or to be able to gain heaven, that we must remain faithful unto death. See, there are a lot of hurdles to clear in life, just like Paul made it so ably known in Galatians 6 and 9. When he told the congregations there in the province of Galatia, he said, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there would be no need for a person who had been benefited by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, who had an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, to actually lose that. The person realizes that there are things that he must do in his Christian living. I read in Philippians 2 and 12 the other day where Paul referred to the Christian life in this way, by saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But he reminded us in verse 13 that we have God who's working with us and in us and through us. And then the third point is brought out in a very definite way down in verse 5. He says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Faith is a very vital thing, because not alone is it linked together with everything we do to become a Christian, but it's associated with everything we do in Christian living. I was talking to a sister in Christ who had been a Christian for many years, and the point was very interesting because we were discussing the worship, the public worship of the congregation. And she had noticed, as I had in looking at the scripture, that everything that we do in that worship, namely singing, the breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper, the giving as we're prospered, the prayers, the exhortations, these are all linked together by faith. Notice, for instance, in the Lord's Supper. Here we are remembering one with the bread and the fruit of the vine each first day of the week. We're remembering one that we have never seen with our human eye. We're giving as we have been prospered to the body, the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, which is the church, and yet we've never seen the body of Jesus Christ with the literal eye. We pray to him, we've never seen him. We pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We sing songs to his name and to his honor, perhaps as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet we have never seen him upon the throne. And the thoughts that are offered time and time again in the exhortation are those things that are stimulated and held high by our faith. So I believe it's very definitely true here that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That scripture that we went to on one of the past broadcasts in Colossians chapter 3, where it mentions that our life is hid with Christ in God, this indicates a certain sense of security. But of course, our life is going to only remain hid with Christ in God if we desire to leave it there. And last but not least, he talks about the trial of our faith in verse 4, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor of the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life can be likened unto a lump of gold, because we understand it is that which will stand the test. Put to the fire, the gold is not destroyed. In reality, it's purified. So keep these four things in mind as you read them again. Be in the house of the Lord. Listen for time of services of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. These brethren want to be your friend, and they trust that you want to be their friend, that we might all be friends of God. Be with us next time as we continue on with another Bible lesson.